Well, praise the Lord. Let's go to the book of Revelation tonight, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1 through 7. Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. We've talked about the churches a little bit, a couple of the churches, the church of Philadelphia, and I believe it was the church of Smyrna, that the Lord was pleased with them. And I think we can gain some wisdom and understanding from the Lord speaking to the churches. Amen. I want the Lord to speak to our church. I want Him to speak to our church. Whatever it is, I want Him to tell us what we need to do. Amen. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, that would be the ministry, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, that's the churches. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake has labored, and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. My, my, you'd think that he would be patting them on the back here. And he was, to a degree. But he said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hear hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Amen. I want to talk about the church of Ephesus tonight. And if we find a parallel, amen, it's time to repent. Amen. It's time to get right with God. Amen. It's always time to repent. Always time to get right with God. That's the only thing that's going to bring revival is true, genuine repentance and a turning from our ways and doing the will of God. Let's pray together right now. Lord, we thank you for the word tonight. Lord, we thank you for the blessing of the word of God. Lord, we pray your hand upon this message tonight. In the name of Jesus, work your purpose and your will, and we give you thanks and praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give the Lord thanks tonight? Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. And something came out here as we go through the study of these seven churches. We can see that the letters to each one of them begins with some sort of attribute of the one that was speaking to the church, and that would, of course, be Jesus Christ. And in this letter, he introduces himself as he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the golden candlesticks. And so when we look at the church of Ephesus here tonight, what we need to understand is that he knows our works. Amen. There are a lot of folks that say works are not important, but he knows our works. He knows what we do. He knows what we do when we're outside the walls of the church. He knows what we do inside the walls of the church. He knows everything. Amen. He knows the condition of our church. He knew the condition of the church of Ephesus. And we're not looking at it as some far distant thing. I believe this was not just for those churches, but I believe it is for the churches in our day today. Somebody said amen. Amen. Don't ever forget that God has all seeing eyes. And don't ever forget that God has all hearing ears. You can't say anything in private that God does not know about. Amen. You cannot do anything in private that God does not know about. Amen. Now, to do this here tonight, I looked up a little bit about the city of Ephesus. And Ephesus was called the Light of Asia, or it also means the first city of Asia. And so this was this was a place where there were some things that had already been established as far as commerce, as far as a city is concerned. And John, who received this revelation from the Lord, was on the Isle of Patmos, which is off the shore of Ephesus. And he no doubt was connected with this church, and some say that he was directly connected to this church. You say, well, if we just had a pastor named John, the Revelator, we'd be doing great. And I'm telling you what, Jesus had 12 disciples, and he had to work them over pretty good. Amen. And when it was all said and done, they forsook him at Calvary. It gives me comfort and peace tonight to know that God understands that I'm not a perfect person. Amen. And that we don't have a perfect church. Praise God. But we are working toward that end. I am working for perfection and maturity in him. And I pray that you're doing the very same thing. It's not a time to back up in our personal commitments to God. It is not a time to back up in some of the things that we have established or had established when we began this journey with him. Praise God. And Ephesus was quite the city. He was no doubt connected to it and may have had some bearing on the order of the churches. The first church that the Lord spoke to was the church in Ephesus, and it may have had some bearing upon that. He knew this church, John knew this church, and when the Lord spoke about it, he understood what the Lord was saying. And the Ephesus church, the church in Ephesus, had a great start. And if you'll allow me tonight, I want to look at some of the things to maybe help us to see a little bit more of a picture of what the Scriptures is talking about. If you'll go with me tonight to the book of Acts chapter 19 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus." Everybody said Ephesus. This was actually the beginning of the church in Ephesus. "And he found certain disciples, and he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. He said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized," or if you please, they were rebaptized, "in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. And so this church in Ephesus had a history of being started by the great Apostle Paul. Can you imagine the feeling of pride that they had when anybody asked, "Where do you go to church?" "Well, we go to church in Ephesus. We're in the church of Ephesus." And there was a certain looking up to that church because there was some hungry hearts. There was some people that were seeking after God. They were baptized by John the Baptist. And that's all they knew was the baptism of John. They didn't know anything else. And here along comes a man who is traveling through Asia, and he ends up in Ephesus. Obviously, it was the will of God that he ended up in Ephesus. And I thank God that when we go somewhere, it needs to be in the will of God. Praise the Lord, because when we're in the will of God, we're going to have results. If we're not in the will of God, well, we can be in the will of God, and we may not have results, but the Lord said, if you don't have results, then just go to another city. Praise God. That's what he said. And I'm thankful tonight for results. Praise God. Thankful tonight for immediate results, where the Lord shows you you're right in the middle of the will of God. And they could have said, Paul is our original pastor that came here, and he prayed a group of men through to the Holy Ghost. He laid his hands on them. He talked to them. He encouraged them. He ministered the word to them, and he just got right down to the point. And I hope tonight that I can just get right down to the point of things and help us to see where we need to be in the Lord. And they said, well, we were baptized by John. I'll tell you tonight, it makes a difference how you're baptized. Well, praise the Lord. Am I in the right church here tonight? Yes, I think I see some familiar faces. Amen. And I'm thankful tonight for water baptism in the name of Jesus. Thankful for what it did for me and what it's done for so many others. Thankful tonight for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Speaking with other tongues. And maybe some of the response that I'm getting tonight will help us in this message. Because Ephesus had something that they were dealing with here. And it was very important. In fact, it was so important that the Lord said, if you don't get this right, I'm going to take your candlestick out. Now, I'm telling you, that's pretty serious stuff. And that's what he said. But Paul prayed these men through to the Holy Ghost, and there was a number of them, and it says, and the number of the men were about 12. And so revival starts with 12 men getting the Holy Ghost, and then Paul decides to stay in Ephesus for a while. And let's read a little bit further. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers or different ones were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years. And so Paul moved around a little bit in the city, started out in the synagogue, and they wouldn't accept the truth, the word of God. And so he went to a school of one Tyrannus and was there for the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Amen. There's something about that kind of result that is truly, truly thrilling. Praise God. When everybody gets excited about the Lord, is anybody excited about the Lord tonight? Are you truly, truly excited in your heart and in your spirit about an opportunity to come to the house of God for worship? Amen. To come and pray and seek the Lord and believe God for miracles. Amen. I believe that God is a miracle-working God tonight. I believe that he can fill somebody with the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. And when there is faith, when there is a unity of faith among a church, it doesn't matter how large or small it is, if there is a unity of faith, anything can happen. Amen. When we reach out to God, oh my, I remember the Lord healing a young man with a broken arm right back about where Brother Greg and Sister Tiffany are sitting, and came to church. His mother was a minister's wife or ex-minister's wife, and some tragic things happened in their life, and we had a little revival going on that none of the remodeling had even gotten started, and it was really small. It wasn't the music wasn't what we have, and there were just so many things that were not up to par, so to speak. But there was one thing among us: we had faith that God could do anything. Amen. There were many that were struggling at the beginning of our church. I was the only one that had a car. I was the only one in the church that had a telephone. Amen. And some of you know what happened in those days. And it was a very, very small situation. But we went back and prayed for that young man, and God healed that broken arm. Now, I know I've told this story before, but it always thrills me when I see what God does in simple situations. Amen. I think He specializes in that to let us know that it's not in our beautiful building. Amen. That it is not in a name that we have on the church, or who it is that is our pastor, or who it is that's in the congregation. Somebody help me tonight. It's not in those things. Thank God for those things, but it is not in those things. True revival comes when people get together and they say, "We believe God." Amen. All it takes is a few people gathered together in a place in Topeka, Kansas called Stone's Folly. It was a man by the name, his last name was Stone, and he started to build a house and he couldn't finish the house, and so they called it Stone's Folly. And they moved in, some people moved in and started a Bible college, and there was just a handful of people, but they saw in the scriptures where the Bible says they could receive the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues. And they went on a fast and prayer, and bless your heart, God poured out His Holy Spirit upon them, and they began to speak in other tongues, and it went to Los Angeles, California, Azusa Street, amen, and they got an old run-down warehouse, and they had nail kegs and boards on the top of the nail kegs, and they had service every night of the week for 4 solid years. They stopped counting the miracles and the healings and all the things that took place. Amen. Where's it at today? I'll tell you where I think it's at. I think we've lost our first love. Amen. And we've fallen in love with our buildings, and we've fallen in love with our wealth. And more than that, we've fallen in love with ourselves. Well, praise the Lord. So He was there for all these years, and God wrought special miracles. What an exciting way for a church to be conceived. Amen. And there were those that tried to come along, and this was the hallmark of the church in Ephesus. And I think the Lord taught them this lesson. But if you'll read with me, then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth." And there were 7 sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and a chief of the priest, which did so. He thought maybe his title would give him a miracle, and he could make a name for himself here. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who in the world are you?" Amen. What a very scary situation here. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Just get the picture in your mind. God was moving for this church. Praise God. Praise God. God was moving for the Ephesus church, and miracles and healings and deliverances were taking place. And then there were those that came along and they said, we're going to do the same thing, and we're going to build a church the same way. Well, I'll tell you, you cannot imitate, amen, you cannot come up with a facsimile, if I could say it that way, a copy just by what it looked like and by how somebody spoke and whatever. I've heard people in recent years get up and try to sing like another singer, a popular singer. But you know what? There's just something about it. It doesn't ring right, does it? Praise the Lord. Come out in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. And they ended up leaving that house wounded and naked. Can you imagine the shame that they had? But can you imagine the excitement within the church of Ephesus when the story was told and everybody said, well, praise God. God is so real. God is so exciting. Amen. God is so wonderful. Do you feel that way about God tonight? Amen. Amen. Well, I didn't expect an enthusiastic response, amen, because I think I've zeroed in on something here tonight. And if you'll let me, anybody going to let me just minister what I feel in my heart? All right, about the same five. All right. Well, I'm going to minister to you five, and the rest of you can listen in. And I hope that you get it, because the candlestick is in danger of being taken out of its place, Ephesus. Amen. And I'm not preaching judgment upon our church. Don't misunderstand me tonight. But we could get to that place if we're not careful. We could get to that place. And then it was known, and fear fell upon all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. That's what it's all about right there. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds, and many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Amen. Ephesus had memories for generations to come. I would say tonight that Ephesus, the church in Ephesus, it does not exist anymore. Something came along, and it is not there anymore. And the Lord spoke to John about this church, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1, and to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand and walketh in the midst of the golden candlesticks, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and not fainted. There's an awful lot right there. I know thy works and thy labor. I look out here tonight, and I don't think that there's anyone in our church that has not labored in some capacity here. Amen. That has put in time and effort and finances and all of that. For the most part, we have unity in that particular area. I thank God for everybody that mows the grass and takes care of the outside, and everybody that takes care of the inside. Amen. There is labor in the work of God. Well, praise the Lord. There is labor. It is called the work of God. Amen. And there is work that needs to be done and labor that needs to be done. And he said, thy patience. Oh, thank God for patience tonight. When we have patience, that means that we go through trials, but we still make it to the house of God. We don't get impatient and go somewhere else to do something else. Thank you, Five. I appreciate that. Amen. Patience is very important. Patience is one of the fruit of the Spirit. And in their patience, they could not bear them which are evil. So in other words, they had been preached righteousness to them by the Apostle Paul. You can read in all of the epistles where he was coming from and what the Lord had given to him. Amen. And you can see that Paul said, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." And here there were those that were evil. In other words, I think there were those that were hypocrites, and they were evil in their heart. They had a spirit about them. They could come to the house of God, and they could act the part, look the part, and all of that. But there was something about Ephesus. They just weren't going to they weren't going to put up with that. Amen. They said, "You haven't borne them. You cannot bear them." In other words, you didn't allow them to work out their evil among you. I'll tell you tonight, church, it's very important that we live for God. Praise the Lord. It's very important that we live for God. It's very important tonight that we have patience. Amen. Patience for the long term. It would be wonderful if the Lord would come tonight. But you know, I've said that many times and we're still here. We've got to have patience. And it's said in Scripture, "In your patience possess you your soul." We do. We save our soul through patience. But he said, "You cannot bear them which are evil, and if you have tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars." Amen. And so, not only did they not bear these people, they tried them which said they were apostles and found them to be liars. Amen. They were not willing to just allow anybody to come in and say, "I'm an apostle." Oh, we're living in that day today where folks want a position, excited about going into the ministry, but they don't have a call of God upon their lives. I remember when I first got saved, a young man came with a singing group and he preached a little bit. And I was feeling a little bit about the ministry, but I didn't feel worthy, and I didn't say anything to anybody. And afterwards, I found him, and I said, "How did you get called to preach?" He said, "I never did get called to preach." He said, "I just always wanted to be a preacher." Oh, Lord, help the poor man. I don't know where he's at today. I don't know if he's living for God or doing anything at all. But folks, you got to have a call upon your life if you're going to be in the ministry. Amen. It's not for sissies and it's not for cowards. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. You're the point man, if you please. You're the star in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they tried them, those that would try to come in and feign themselves as being spiritual. Amen. They're the ones that want everybody to know that they know the Word of God and they are spiritual and they're walking with God. Usually you can try these folks and you'll find out that there is a reason that they do that. Amen. They do that because they want control. And you know, that's probably most of the problems of our world. Somebody that wants to control. Amen. And I'm telling you what, it's not any fun at all. I've pastored in places where they wanted control. And I pastored in a place before we came here. I'm not going to go into all the gory details, all right? That's not what my message is all about tonight. But I just want to share with you what the church in Ephesus went through. Some of the things that they had to go through. Praise God. I was the second pastor that was there for a very short time, and people within the church that wanted to control the church, that are not living for God today, rose up and caused much trouble. I found out the man that came after me, they did the same thing to him, and then I found that a little boy that grew up in the church, his daddy was one that supported me and was very faithful and did not like what was going on. And he was wanting us to stay, but God had different plans for us. And the young man called me the other day, a few months ago, and he said, "We've started a church." He was actually pastoring the church. And 4 months after taking the church, the same group rose up again and said, "We want control. We want you to leave. We'll do our own thing." And I said, "What's the last name?" And they told me, and I said, "That's the same ones. They've got a foothold in there." But I'm telling you tonight, what we've got to have is God's order within the church. And there was a spirit here. There was an effort here by some to say, "We are apostles, and we're going to direct this thing." But I'm telling you, it's got to be in the hand of the Lord. It's got to be a star in the hand of the Lord. And he's got to be walking in the midst of the candlesticks. Praise God. And so it says they had and has borne and has patience. So they bear some things. They bore some things. They put some things on their shoulders for a long period of time. They probably got an old rundown building. Some of you will know where I'm coming from. Maybe they found an old rundown building and said, "In order to make the payment on this thing, we're going to have a yard sale." Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about, but some of you do. And or they passed out little flyers that said, "If you got any leftovers, let us know, and we'll come pick them up for you." And we picked up. Sister Glenda knows what Ephesus went through, and there was some things that was on their shoulders. And inside of the church, some of you may not agree with this, but inside of this church, before we had a center row of pews, all of these side pews were displays, and we displayed clothes, we displayed everything. All down the front of the church on the sidewalk was yard sale stuff. All the way over in the parking side was yard sale stuff, and that's what Ephesus did. Amen. That's what Ephesus did. And we had so much that one time we got a dump truck. We had a dump truck that somebody loaned us, and we started throwing the leftovers in the dump truck. We were tired of looking at it, and it literally filled the dump truck up with stuff. That's Ephesus. That's what they had to do. They bore some things. Amen. Oh, praise God. It's exciting to come to a nice air-conditioned church and one that is beautiful, but I'll tell you what, within the pews and the carpet and everything that you see and the niceties that we have, there are some that bore some things for a long period of time and worked hard and labored. And you know what that's all about. I'm not saying you haven't done that, but they had patience. Amen. We had a gigantic mortgage here of $251.99 a month. And it might as well have been $10,000 a month, but we began to pay it off, and the day came, praise God. I don't know if some of you remember what happened when we had the service and we burned the mortgage, praise God. wasn't a huge thing, but it was huge to us, and we were so excited. We had patience, and we bore some things, and we have gotten to where we are because of that Spirit, amen, that was within us. And he said, for my name's sake has labored, amen. We're not trying to get a number so we can go around and say we had this many in church, we had this many get the Holy Ghost, but we labored, or rather Ephesus labored for the name of the Lord, for his sake, for his name's sake, labored and has not fainted. Amen. They got a hold of the truth and they passed it along. Amen. And the love that this church in Ephesus had, this new truth that had come to them, this revival that had broken out in their city, it caused a tremendous uproar within their city. And if you'll read there, and I'm not going to go through it here tonight, but if you'll read there, the makers of idols were in jeopardy of actually being closed down. Amen. And a riot broke out in the city, and they were going to kill the Apostle Paul. It was really quite a situation. Amen. They made a mark in their city. I don't know how large the church was, but they made a mark in their city. Praise God. I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. And they learned through great troubles that special miracles could be wrought by the hand of the Lord. And they prayed earnestly because there was much opposition. Amen. Sometimes the greatest times of your life is when you don't have two nickels to rub together. Praise God. Might not have any money, but we've got one another, and we've got the Lord. Amen. And we have to pray for a little bit of money to buy some food. Amen. And we've gone through some things in living for God. Amen. And it's exciting. It's still exciting today. And I'm willing, anybody else willing, to bear some things so we can move to the next stage of the church. Praise God. It's not time to get settled into the pew. Well, praise God. It's not time to mark the time and say, I've been at it this long. It's time to back off a little bit. It's time to back off from prayer. Brag about it. I'm telling you what, that's not what Ephesus was all about. Amen. There are places where everybody lays hands on everybody else. And the Bible tells us not to lay hands on anybody quickly. What that really means is it needs to be approved by the ministry before you start laying hands on people. Now, if your children are sick, lay hands on them because you're in authority over them. But I'll tell you what, we had some folks come through here one time, and they got a hotel here in town, came from another city, about 3 or so hours away, and the Lord spoke to them and told them to come. But it was amazing when the altar call was given, the only ones they wanted to pray with was the young girls. Amen. And we went to them and said, please don't do this. It's not right. Amen. We didn't ask you to come and pray for these folks. We've got ministry here. We've got a star here that's in the hand of God. Well, praise the Lord anyhow. Amen. There is something about God's order that is right. There is something about the order that God gives us. Amen. Pray for one another, but there's something about laying on of hands. It's in the foundation of our Christian faith. And the Ephesus church got a hold of the truth, and they passed it on to future generations. Amen. They learned through great troubles that special miracles could be done, and they prayed. Amen. And they did it unto the Lord. But then in verse 4, things turned here a little bit, and thank God for the love of God. The love of God that will say, I've got something against you. The love of God that will say, I need to have a little talk with you. The love of God that says everything's not right. You can always tell what kind of spirit you're dealing with when you say something's not right. You can tell what kind of spirit you're dealing with by the reaction that comes from that. And the Lord said, I have somewhat against thee. Obviously, Ephesus didn't get their act together because they're not there anymore. And he said, because you have left your first loves, your first love. And so there was something here about this, and I began to look at it, and it's really interesting. It's eye-opening when you see this. You've left your first love. I want to ask us tonight, do you remember the thrill of truth as it came to you? When all of a sudden the revelation of the oneness of God came to your heart, oh, I'm telling you what, I was so excited. I'd been coming to the house of God for some time, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, came this revelation of the Word of God. It wasn't an extra biblical revelation, but it was a revelation of the Word of God. Amen. Do you remember the excitement of being filled with the Holy Ghost? Amen. Does anybody remember the night you got the Holy Ghost or the day you got the Holy Ghost? Amen. I remember some of you, one in particular, got the Holy Ghost on Mother's Day. What a special thing that is. Amen. I remember when all of you received the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so excited. I want to ask you tonight, how do you feel about it now? How do you feel about it now? I remember when the thrill of truth, as somebody was teaching me a Bible study, and a spirit of revelation came into that room, and all of a sudden my eyes were opened, and I said, I've got to get baptized. I've got to live for God. I'm not doing what's right. Does anybody remember that? Amen. I want to ask you tonight, how do you feel about it tonight? How do you feel about it tonight? Because what you did in past is not relevant now. Amen. Do you remember after you gave your life to God, the love that you had for God and others? Don't get quiet on me here tonight. I'm talking about Ephesus, all right? I'm talking about Ephesus. The love that you had for God and the love that you had for others. Oh, yes. How do you feel about Him tonight? How do you feel about others tonight? Amen. You got to ask yourself this question. Do you remember tonight the excitement that was in your spirit when somebody said, it's time to go to church. Praise God. It's time to load up the kids and we're headed to the house of God. Amen. We started a church in Plymouth, Massachusetts, and I was driving a Yugo. Amen. They had a little joke, and they said they were coming out with a four-door model, and they were going to call it a Wego. Amen. But we had a Yugo, and nobody else in the church had a car. Amen. So we loaded up four or five kids in the back seat of the Yugo, put the amplifier and the guitar in the very back, went and brought them to the house of God, which was an old Grange hall, old deserted hall thing, and had a piano, a little bit of a piano, a little bit of a guitar. Amen. But we were excited about God. We were excited about the work of God. Amen. Are you still excited about that tonight? Amen. He said, I know your works. I know. Amen. He knows where the church is. Amen. But how do we feel about it now? Amen. How do you feel about it? But you see, the Lord knows. He knows where you go. He knows what you say. Amen. He knows how you treat others. Amen. Others in your family, others on the job, others around you. He knows all of these things. And the big question was, or the statement rather, was, I've got something against you. Amen. I'm not discounting all the things that you've done, but you've got to wake up, Ephesus, and you've got to realize that it's not, we can't rest on the laurels of the past. We can't look at the things of the past and say, well, I've done my share, it's time to rest a little while. And I know there are times to rest, but I'm telling you what, when you lay down to rest, sometimes you don't want to get back up. Anybody with me today? Praise the Lord, especially after a long, hard day. I'm just going to sit here on my recliner for an hour, and then I'm going to go out and mow the grass. You never make it. You never make it. Amen. And, well, I'll get it done tomorrow. Praise God. I have seen folks that when the Holy Ghost started moving, they would shout, they would praise God, they would run the aisles, big smiles on their face. But you know what? Time and tribulations and patience and labor and bearing things on your shoulder for long periods of time, after a while, we can lose what it is that we are doing this for and why we are doing this and what is the main motivation behind it. It's very easy to go through the motions. Listen to me tonight. It's very easy to do that in your marriage. It's very easy to do that with your friendships. It's easy to do that in the church. Amen. I've got my little spot right there, and I've got my Bible sitting right there. And bless your heart, we're going to have a major riot and an outbreak if somebody sits in my spot. Oh, you're feeling pretty good tonight because some of you changed your spots. I'm not against sitting in the same spot. I'm not against those things. You know what I'm talking about here tonight. But I'm just going to kind of settle in here, you know. We bought a bed one time, and the guy that sold it to us, he said, it's going to take you a couple weeks. First couple of weeks, he said, it's going to be maybe a little bit rough. But he said, then it's going to nest. Amen. He called it nesting. I don't know if he was calling us a bird or what he was calling us. But he said, it's going to nest and it's going to settle in. And only you are going to be comfortable in that nest. Amen. That's my side of the bed. Get over. I want to get in my nest. And you kind of wiggle yourself down in there. And there you are. Praise God. And you know what? I got a feeling tonight. Oh my, I could go just about anywhere here. But we're sitting there and all of a sudden the Spirit comes on us. You know what? I'm going to let Gavin do the praying and the worshiping tonight. I've done my share for years. I've labored. I've borne enough things. Let somebody else do it for a while. Well, you might just be careful that you don't get nested. Amen. That you don't get your little nest and all those things put in there. But you say, Pastor, I'm tired. I understand what tired's all about. Amen. I understand what it means to labor and not see a lot of results or even see those that have left us. Amen. That we love, that we labored for, that we put time into. But I'm telling you what, I'm just asking the question, what are we doing it for? Amen. What is the purpose? Amen. We're doing it for the sake of the Lord. We're doing it for the sake of our children and future generations that are going to come along. Amen. Daddy, don't get complacent. Amen. Don't just sit in your spiritual recliner and say, I'm backing up for just a little while and I'll get back into it. Hey, listen, you got little ones that are looking up to you. Praise God. Praise God. You've got others that are depending on you, and you need to be concerned about your own self as well. How do we fix this? How do we rectify this situation? He tells it to them in verse 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly. Everybody said quickly. And I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. I have seen it. I have seen it with my own eyes. And the Lord, for some reason, has put me in places that were troubled, churches that were troubled. And I didn't stay long, but it was, I believe the Lord was using me as a witness of what needed to be done. I'm thinking of a church, not the one I was talking about before, but the one before. And I've never done this, and I've never done it since. But when we left that church, I left the key at the church and shut the door for the last time, and I wiped my feet on the mat of the church when we left. And it is just a shell of a church today. He came quickly and snatched that out. They're no longer in the candlestick unless they repent and come back to God. I remember another church. In fact, the first church that I pastored was very troubled spiritually, and we ministered in love, and we didn't preach anything that was contrary, but there was a spirit there. We were trying to reach out to that place. We were trying to help them, but there were those that wanted authority. They wanted power. They wanted control, and it literally destroyed the church. It literally destroyed the forward momentum of the church. And today it is a funeral home. It is a funeral home. And as far as I know, there's not even a church in that city. And we worked hard and we labored. We prayed one girl through. We baptized one young person in a whole year. There was no results whatsoever because of the spirit that was in that church. Amen. And what are you trying to say tonight? I'm trying to tell you, he will come quickly. Amen. He will come quickly and take the candlestick out and put another candlestick in its place. Oh God, that ought to make us fear tonight, that what we do, we must do it with the right spirit and attitude. It was happening now in the Ephesus church, probably somewhere around 90 AD, somewhere in there. And so Pentecost happened somewhere in 34 AD. And so here we are now, about 55 years later. Amen. But it didn't just happen in 55 years. Somewhere in the course of their life, this began to happen, and they were never able to recover and get the momentum back and get the focus back the way it needed to be. I don't know if it was at a 25-year mark or a 30-year or 40-year mark. I don't know. But somewhere down the road, there was a switching of direction. Amen. There was a change of direction, and they never got it back. They never got it back. I'm telling you what, I want to be saved more than anything in all of this world. And I'm so thankful tonight for the church. Is anybody else thankful for the church? I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Amen. The fix for it is repentance. And it's not just saying, "Lord, I'm sorry," but it's a matter of changing. It's a matter of changing. Amen. Do the first works. Not just repent, but go back and do the first works. And maybe just say, "You know what? I said to myself, I'm not going to sign that list back there again. I've done my share." You know what? Just ask God to forgive you and go write your name down on there. This isn't a message promoting the cleaning list, but it'll sure help the cleaning list. Well, you know, I mean, it applies to so many things. It applies to our worship. Amen. Now, if you've got a broken leg, you don't have to stand up and worship. But if you're healthy and everything, why just sit there while everybody else is worshiping? Well, I've done my share. I'm an elder now. I've been through the mill. Amen. And I feel like I'm ground up. Praise God. But I'm telling you tonight, you need to get up and get after it again. say, well, I've been through trials and so on and so forth, just go talk to Sister Webb in Colorado Springs. 80-some-odd years old, she's the first one to get out in the aisle and worship God. She's the first one in a church that'll seat 1,200 to get out and run the aisles. And her husband is lost. He doesn't want to come to church. He doesn't love God. And she prays for him all the time. She's very submissive to her husband. And whatever he wants, if there's something special going on at the church, she will ask permission from him to go. And whatever he wants for dinner, she gets it for him. I'll tell you what, I want to go the way she's going. Year after year after year, I'm excited about Jesus. I'm excited about the work of God. I'm excited about living for God. I want to ask you tonight, how do you feel about it? You say, well, Pastor, I've been through a lot of things. Hey, listen, if you're going to live for God and go to heaven, you're going to go through some things. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Some of you are looking at me like a cow that's looking at a new gate, as Brother Johnson says. What's that? But he said in verse 6, you know, I just think the Lord is so gracious and kind. He pats them on the back, tells them all the good things they've done. Then he said, I got something against you, and I'm going to snatch your candlestick out and throw it away. And then as soon as he's done saying that in verse 6, he said, but I want to tell you, there's something that you do have. Verse 6, you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which also I hate. And I found this about the Nicolaitans. They were not a sect, or they were not a religious group, but they were professing Christians who, like Balaam of old, tried to introduce into the church a false freedom, that is, licentiousness. And this was a reaction in the opposite direction from Judaism. Amen. And so it was the spirit of Balaam. And they came in professing to be Christians. But they said, you don't have to live holy. There's freedom. There's freedom now. And we can worship the Lord. And we do worship the Lord. And we can do whatever we want to do. Amen. And you know what the Lord said? You hate the things, the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Amen. Be ye holy, for I am holy, the Lord said. Amen. And we need to be thankful tonight. Is anybody thankful tonight? We need to be thankful that preaching against false doctrine is in our church here. And preaching the false doctrine that grants liberty to the flesh. Preaching that that those doctrines that grant those liberties, but preaching it in such a way that we understand our freedoms that we have. You say, oh, well, why can't I drink? Oh, you know what? You ought to look at it this way and say, you know what? I'm thankful that I'm not going to die of cirrhosis of the liver. Amen. God save me. Amen. Well, you mean we can't smoke cigarettes? Well, I'm telling you, I'm just thankful tonight that I'm not smoking cigarettes, because I'd have been dead and gone a long time ago. They understand the detrimental effect of lifestyles that are not godly lifestyles. Praise the Lord. Skin cancer from exposing your body to the sun all the time. Amen. Thank God for being clothed. There's some physical benefits of this. Not just physical benefits, but spiritual benefits. Praise the Lord. We need to be thankful for these things. Praise God. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. I'm going to finish here in just a few minutes. Verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Amen. Folks, this is what it's all about. I said, this is what it's all about. It's all about going to heaven. Amen. In Revelation 22 and verse 1, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Praise God. And this is the tree that was in the Garden of Eden, and it's prepared for those that are serious about living for God and excited about serving the Lord and doing the will of God. Blessed are they that do His commandments, verse 14, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. I'm afraid that I will fall into the spirit of the Ephesus church. I don't ever want to get away. I don't ever want to get away from living for God and working for God. Amen. It's worth it, my friend. It's worth it, church. You say, I've had a lot of patience, but things just haven't worked out the way I wanted them to work out. Well, you know what? God has His hand upon the ministry. God is walking. Jesus is walking through those candlesticks. He's in control of what's going on. The storm is passing over, but I'll tell you what, the storm is not here forever. Amen. Praise God. Where are you tonight? Where are you in your walk with God? Let's stand together right now. Where are you? Amen. Come and play on the piano. I appreciate Abigail. Amen. But honey, you got to do it because you love God. Not to be seen or any of those things. And that goes for everybody else, and myself included. Amen. We're not doing this for any accolades or any of that. But where are you tonight? Have you lost some of the joy and the peace and the love for God? Amen. I tell you where there's only one other place to go, and that is the worldly spirit that was in Ephesus. You know what they worshiped more than anything in Ephesus? It was the goddess Diana. And that's what they made. They made idols to Diana, this goddess, and they made their money. Diana was the goddess of fertility or sensual passion. You're going to fall in love with something. Say, well, I'm just going to take a break and rest. Well, just tell your wife that. See how it works. No, don't do it. I'm just joking. I'm not joking, but I'm trying to make a point. Just try that with your wife. Just, you know, well, honey, we've been married now nigh unto 10 years. And you know what? I'm just tired. And I'm just going to take a break from you. And I'm going to go to Europe for a few months. And, you know, I'll call if I've got time. And we'll Facebook once a month so I can see the kids and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, when you get up off of the floor, then you'll realize that this just isn't going to work. This isn't going to work. Just try it with your husband. Don't try it, but, well, honey, you know what? I'm just tired of cooking. I'm tired of cleaning dirty clothes. Tired of, you know, carrying the burden of these kids and working and doing all these things. I've just decided I'm going to take a break for a while. Some of you are smiling. Praise God. Just see how that works. He may not get upset with it. He might just say, oh, okay. And after about a month, the whole house is full of dirty clothes and nothing's been cleaned. Praise God. It's not going to work. Wonder how we get the idea that, Lord, I've just been working. I'm really tired. Spent a lot of time with you. We've had some good times, Lord. But I just want to let you know, I'm just going to take a break from everything for a while. Oh, I love you. Don't think that I don't love you. And I'll give the preacher an amen every now and then. But I'm just taking a break from this. I'm afraid if that's the way it is, it's the spirit of Ephesus. That one thing, just one thing. And I thought, Lord, that's kind of hard. They did all these things, and now just one thing, and they're going to get the candlestick taken out of its place. But the more I look at it, the more I realize, that was really the most important thing of all. That was the most important thing at all. Most important thing is not having a beautiful house. Most important thing is not having all the food you want and being able to go out to eat all the time. The most important thing is not having a really nice car and having things and getting it all set up the way you want it to be set up. But isn't the most important thing is to love and to be loved? Don't you think the Lord feels that way too? It's not about our church. The Lord doesn't smile and say, well, I'm really impressed with your projectors up there. You know what? I saw those lights in Lowe's, and I thought to myself, if I was going to build a church, I'd get those kind of lights. The Lord doesn't look at it that way. The Lord didn't say, Greg Wirst, I really like the carpet that you picked out. My, you did such a good job on your pulpit. He's not impressed with those things. You know what the Lord could say? He could just snap his fingers and all of this and much more would come to pass. But you know what? He doesn't do that. Because what he wants is to be loved and to find an object of his love. You've left your first love. Oh, I just wonder. I wonder, and I said I'm going to finish, and I'm going to finish. But I wonder how difficult it must be for a married couple to get to the place where one of the wife or the husband would say, honey, I don't feel like you love me anymore. I wonder what it would feel like, whichever one said that, how it would feel like on the other person, and how distressed the individual must be to actually verbalize those words. I don't feel like you love me anymore. Would you please love me? That's exactly what the Lord is saying to the church in Ephesus right here. I don't think you love me. You're doing all these things. You're going here and you're going there. But do you really love me? Do you really love me? Do you love Jesus tonight? Anybody love him? Are you excited about him? Are you excited about walking with him? Why don't we just come right now to the altar and let's stand at the altar tonight. We're not going to take a lot of time, but just from your heart, amen. You can express to God how you feel tonight. In Jesus'